Tonight at the Teatro, it is a TED Talk, TED at Teatro. It's a panel discussion on race and racism. It's called Anti-Racism in the U.S., What America Never Was. One of those speakers is Jordan Moses. He joins us on the phone this morning to give us a little bit of a preview into that conversation. Hey, Jordan, good morning, and thanks for being here.
Good morning, of course.
So tell us, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot. I was alive during the civil rights movement of the 60s, but I was a little kid and was not paying attention to the evening news the way I should have. And then I was thinking, is this a time, are we going through a time like the civil rights effort when these conversations are front and center? And then I thought, are we more civil now, or were they more civil then than they were now? And I don't know. There was a. What's your perspective? You were not old enough either to live through the civil rights movement of the 60s. But what is your sense comparing today and then, 50 years ago, 50, 60 years ago?
For sure, yeah. I definitely wasn't old enough. I'm still quite young. But, you know, my grandmother was in her early 30s, late 20s at the height of the civil rights movement. So there's some very real connections and very real history there, as well as some of my mentors, some of my friends, some of the folks I know were alive and living in the Midwest, in the South, on the East Coast, West Coast, during the height of the civil rights movement. And you can definitely see parallels because, you know, as a whole, our culture still struggles with racism and sort of ideas of superiority, ethnocentricity, individualism, these types of things. And so, you know, one of the things that is sort of common is that folks oftentimes believe that, like, civil rights was just this piece of history, just this story, and the movement was just this story, and that although we made gains, a lot of folks sort of interpret it as the final victory, sort of the final hurdle of the race, pun intended, I suppose, of the race in this movement towards equity and justice. And really, there were gains made, but there are still these issues that need to be addressed. And in relation to civility, I don't know that it was more or less civil then. Based on the stories that I hear from some of my mentors, some of the elders, I definitely don't think during the height of the civil rights movement, there was a lot of civility around the topic of race and racism, especially towards folks of color. There wasn't a lot of empathy or humanity from a lot of folks. There was a lot of apathy around the issue. And these are still common themes that I think exist today.
I have heard before from older people that younger people of color, because they didn't live through that particular struggle, are maybe a little bit more, and I'm just talking about, you know, obviously one segment of a population, it is a little bit more difficult to help them to see and to get them involved. It sounds as though you're talking about a little bit of trying to get people up to speed on both sides, although obviously I think there are a lot of white people too who maybe feel we fought the battle, we accomplished, you know, what needed to be done as allies, and I think that there's a lot of conversation going, no, it's not even close to being done.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that that is an issue in terms of encouraging younger people of color to step up? Although now, once again, some of these conversations about the other, racism, people being discriminated against on the basis of their religion, gender, sexual preference, some of these conversations are right back front and center in our faces again.
Yeah. You know, I think part of it is a lot of the texts I read and a lot of the stories I hear, there's always sort of generational realities. And even during the height of the civil rights movement, a lot of the folks on the front lines and doing a lot of the groundwork were, you know, in their mid-20s, early 20s, and late teens. A lot of the folks who participated in the marches and movement building were young folks. And that has been true for a lot of movements around the world, right? Because young folks traditionally have the ability to risk a little bit more. A lot of times we don't have children, or we aren't married, or we don't have a job that we're super sort of hell bent on keeping, so we can take different risks.
And you have, I want to add that you have passion, and you have a strong belief that something is wrong, and I can do something, or we can do something to change it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and there's also this piece of not having to, we haven't had to deal with sort of the negativity and the harm as long as some of our elders and mentors and parents and grandparents have. And the idea that we have less experience in this movement and in this fight for racial justice and equity. And so part of it is also like learning the best way to engage in these conversations, the best way to challenge folks in power or to challenge folks that may be apathetic.
Since you are kind of a historian of this, You listen to your elders, you pay attention to what's going on now, you're making plans to move forward and try to move conversations forward. So you're much more introspective about this situation. As a young man yourself, are you making a conscious effort to change the way you relate to other people in the movement? To perhaps be a bridge builder, to perhaps be looking at laying groundwork with younger people who are getting involved. How does everything that you know about this topic inform how you go forward?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it definitely changes the way that you build connections and relate to people. The more you learn about sort of the obstacles and barriers that folks face in the past, the more information you have to move forward. And so, you know, sort of intergenerational work is something that I've noticed has always presented challenges in any sort of movement. And bringing that to the forefront and making sure that relationships between folks of all ages in this work are essential and core to understanding what's going on, right? The folks who have been here longer than me have a different set of experiences. They knew what the world was like prior to the internet, right? They know what the movement was like prior to mass media. And then you have folks who are younger than me, right? Folks, you know, kids who are coming up and growing up in this world who are going to understand different things about the world, and making sure that they have a place in the movement too, and that you're building relationship with those children and their families in order to have this sort of more nuanced approach to doing this work. And then also recognizing that racism impacts every person on this planet of every race and every background. It's built into, especially when you think about this country, it's built into every institution that we participate in. And so really building personal relationships and cultural and community relationships that understand that we are all impacted, and that's going to manifest different ways depending on what identities we hold and our sort of interpersonal stories, our personal stories as well. Recognizing that and having deeper and more complex conversations and connections to people so that we can better do this work.
In many respects, it seems that some of the issues that were being fought for during the civil rights movement were kind of straightforward. But they had to do with, you know, where can you sit on the bus? What water fountain can you drink out of? What restaurant can you go into? And although many of those external things were changed, attitudes didn't really change. I do hear a lot of conversations these days about the idea, from people of all colors, about the idea of institutionalized racism or sexism and how it's built into the rules. So it sounds like, at least in this iteration, there are some of those deeper conversations being held. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I do. I definitely feel that way. And I think that's something that's really important. There's, and I'm forgetting the woman's name, and I apologize to her, but she's one of the leaders, I think the executive director of the Bush Foundation, and she uses the great example of prohibition, right? And it's, that was sort of like the ultimate win, right? That's like the strongest policy that you could get on the issue of alcohol in the United States. Of course, we know what happened with prohibition and how that worked out, right? Because minds didn't change around the issue. Culture didn't change around the issue. And so when we talk about this issue of race and racism, you know, we can change laws, and that's a part of the process. And laws can influence culture and community, sure. But ultimately, if we don't change enough minds and if we don't change the broader culture, right, the culture in which our systems live underneath, those policies won't stick. Folks will find loopholes to equity, to equality, to justice. There will be ways around it, and there will be subsets of people, groups, governments, corporations fighting to restrict rights and access. And I think that's something we sort of perpetually see, is that, you know, we make gains and we change laws, but laws can be undone, or other laws can be put on the books, or the economy can change, opportunity can change. I mean, there's things that, that sort of shift to continue to perpetuate the reality that a certain group of people is superior to other groups of people.
Right. Jordan, what are you hoping comes out of the panel discussion tonight? Dr. Janine Weeks is going to be one of the guest speakers. Paula Peterson is going to be one of the guest speakers. And what are you hoping the how are you kind of hoping that the evening goes? And what, in a perfect world, would be what everybody walks out of there with this evening?
Yeah. So in a perfect world, I guess, we speak and everyone in the room decides we're starting the revolution right then and there. And we spread the wealth and we're all happy and great.
I love that. I love that. What a little more realistically are you? Well, no, I asked. It was my fault. I asked, what are you hoping? That's what you're hoping. All right. That's not bad.
But realistically, I think the most we can ask for is that we have some real complex conversations and explorations of these topics. Race and racism isn't something that any one person can completely and wholly understand. We can best understand it with our knowledge and connection and relationship to other people. And so we really hope that we're able to, there's a piece of what we're talking about tonight that really helps us connect personally with the audience and share a little bit about ourselves so people understand what our connection is to this topic. But we would really like to connect with the audience and be able to share our stories and our perspectives, and also acknowledge the fact that we are just three, and including the moderator, four people, talking about and discussing this issue. These are just four realities and perspectives, and there are literally billions of realities and perspectives around this issue. So we want people to understand that, get that, and to really make that commitment that this conversation, this work, needs to go deeper than us just listening. It really needs to translate and transform into action within our circles of influence.
And I think that perhaps is key, because that is something that you can, that a person can actually grab hold of, put in their pocket, take forward into the world. It has to go deeper than listening. It needs to be transformed action. And you can find little pockets of areas where you can have that influence in your everyday life. You know, you maybe aren't going to change the entire society at once, but you can change the way you interact with a lot of different systems moving forward.
For sure.
Jordan, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. It's always a treat to talk with you. Jordan Moses, our guest here on 103.3 KUMD tonight at the TED at Teatro Conversation. It's taking place at 7:30. It's a panel discussion called Anti-Racism in the U.S., What America Never Was. We'll get a link up on our website for more information.